Hey, tonight is Monday night, February 15th, or 7th of Adar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Yud Amid Beis and Moed Katan. A variety of Piskei Halacha that have been authored by a Rava concerning Chol HaMoed. It's on Daf Yud Amid Beis. And the last one that we did was concerning digging a little canal off the river to allow water to flow, depending on what your intention was. If it was for collecting fish, that was okay. If it was for watering the land, that obviously would be prohibited. So we're about two-thirds of the way down. There's a little yud next to the word hayman. A little yud. Amarava. Hayman, and then the place for Amarava. Haiman de Pasha Dikla. Somebody was Pasha Dikla. So we did that one already. That's not the one. The Amar Rava, the one that's the one if you were pruning the branches. So it depends if you took it from one side or two sides. One after that. Amar Rava. It's about 12 lines from the bottom. Hani Tamri Tuchlani Migzarinu Shari Maitzinhu Asir. Hani Tamri Tuchlani. Tamri Tuchlani, says Rashi, are tamarim shlo nizbashlu kol tzarchan, dates that have not yet completely ripened. So, if migzarinhu, if you cut them, it's mutter. And if you look at Rashi, it's the first of the wide lines of the Rashi, migzarinhu. Lichotchan lishnayim. If you cut these dates that have not yet ripened in half, ule ochlan hachi biyamtov, in order to eat them on yamtov, shari delitzorech yamtov kaavik, because he's obviously doing it on behalf of yamtov. But maitzinhu also. If he took these unripe dates, I'm reading the Rashi, Maitzinu, Likovshon Bimasui, to squeeze them out, Umotzi Lecha, to put them in a press and to extract their juice, Shebohem Lachutz, Hainu Asur, that would be Asur, Sheachshav Einom Nisloim. Right now in this state, they're not going to get wormy. And what is his intention to do? Elo la'asos mehem tzmukin le'achlon b'chol. He is doing this to what? To have dried dates later on during the week. Hu b'chavim. V'osur l'sakin b'yom tov ma'achol d'chol. And you are not permitted to go ahead and prepare something on Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov. So, no one has ever said that that this sugya ought to be identified with the famous Gemara in Psachim of Ha'ofem Yom Tov Lechol, that somebody who does melacha on Yom Tov for during the week. A baker gets up and says, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov, so I'm going to bake on Yom Tov for what? For afterward. No one has ever said that doing something on Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov is to be equated with, you know, with that, which according to Rav Chisda, you get Malkus for Ha'ofer Miyom Tov Lechol. No one is ever saying that. But nonetheless, it would be usur because for 68,000 reasons, to Tircha, whatever it is.
Well, what's new about either of these statements?
Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. Especially the first part, according to Rashi. What did Rashi say? What did you do? You took a date and you cut it in half. Nice. I need Rava to tell me that in Chol HaMoed you're allowed to take a date and cut it in half and eat it. You need Rava? What would be the Issa? You're planning on eating it. Not only would this be permissible on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. You can do it on Shabbos. What's the problem? That is the question which everybody asks against Rashi. Everybody. That he doesn't, no one understands what the nature of the problem was, according to Rashi, that I needed Rava to tell me that it is permissible.
Well, if it's an unripened fruit.
Yes.
So on a regular Shabbos, so it was not prepared before Shabbos to be eaten, because most people don't eat it this way.
No, but if I am making it to eat it, it's fine.
But let's say I'm not making it to it. Now it's Shabbos, and it was unripened. I happen to like it this way. Am I allowed to take it on Shabbos and cut it in half and eat it?
So if you normally like it that way, we would probably... First of all, that's going to be dependent on the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So on Shabbos, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. That as long as it's edible, food is mechen itself and does not require personal hachana.
Even though most people wouldn't eat it that way, but some people do.
That is correct. All right. That's correct.
So saying this is a completely unripened date wouldn't save anybody.
Would not save anybody any, would not generate anything. So therefore, if you were to take the rush, he serves as a spokesman for almost everybody in this regard. I bracketed, there are several rushes that we're going to be, today is the rush day. We're going to see the rush quite extensively. The Amar Roberts, on the right-hand side towards the bottom of the page, Hani Tuchlani Migzarinu Shari Maitzinu Asa Perush Tmarim Shelo Nizbashlu Kol Tzarchan Mutar Liloktan B'Moed L'Tzorach Achila. What is the issue dealing with? To pluck them off the tree. Well, that's Tolesh. That's an Isur. So I might have said, so here it depends. If I pluck them off, for what reason? To eat them, that's perfectly okay. But if I pluck them to then go ahead and press them to extract the liquid so that they will ultimately be dried dates, under those circumstances, that would be usur. And that's a real isur malacha. And so that would now depend on whether it's asur midoraisa, asur midrabbanan. So that's what the Rosh says. It has nothing to do with cutting them in half, but liloktan means to pluck them off the tree. Off the tree. So we've been having in our shiurim lots of people who are eating dates. Right? We had on Shabbos these crazy people eating dates, and now more people eating dates. Very nice. Yeah. So that, right, let's just continue to rush. V'hanosarim me'achila, and those that were left over after he plucked a bunch of dates, those that were left over, asur lekovsham, you cannot press them k'dei she'teitzei mehem halecha, shelo yasliu, that they should not get wormy. And then become dry dates, and you sell them as dry dates that you are not permitted to do. So that's the first halacha which Rava said.
If they become wormy, wouldn't that be a dover over here?
What?
If they're going to become wormy...
If they are going to... Yes.
So then it's
if they will later become wormy...
So
yes.
It's dover over here. It's something to lose eye on them.
No, but you could eat them right now.
You're done eating. So right now you have
eat more.
You can't say that because...
Eat more. That's all. Right now they're edible. Right now they're edible. And also, don't cut them up. Part of the worming process becomes about when you cut them up. Don't cut them up. Let them dry naturally.
Is Rabbi talking about Yontif or Chol HaMoed?
He is talking about Chol HaMoed.
That's not what Rashi says.
What did Rashi say?
The first one, the Rashi first one, the said, Shlein Bochel, Yom Tov.
Kivlit Sorech Yontif Ka'avid. No, he's doing this to cut it up, to eat it on Yontif.
No, but the Ochlan Kachi Bi Yom Tov. So he's doing it on Yontif, he's doing it on Chol HaMoed for the last day of Yontif?
He's doing it, yeah, on Chol HaMoed to eat it on Shkiat Tzaris. Yes.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the way you prepare, that's the way a lot of those, right?
When she makes dates.
Yeah. Let's continue. Rav Papa Amar, this is your point. Rav Papa Amar, Kevon de Misli, Kiprat Makya Ha'avad Dami Vishari. Since once you did cut them up, what was your intention? To eat. And then, after two dates, you had enough. You cut up 50, and you had enough after two. So now it's going to become wormy. So I have two options, to allow them to be wormy, or to press them, get the liquid out, and then go ahead and dry them, and use them as dry dates. So Rav Papa says, since once they have already been cut, they are going to become wormy, it becomes like pragmatia, business, that is going to be what? That I will not be able to recover, and therefore it's permissible to go ahead and do so. That's what he said. That's what he said.
What is the iser? Squeezing, or is it preparing for Rav Yontif?
Oh,
what did Malachi was talking about that we were preparing?
So that's an interesting question. So extracting juice is a tolda, is sochet, which is a tolda of dash. Tolda of dash. So it's a malacha. There's a whole Gemara in Shabbos about squeezing fruits to produce juice. And there is a very simple rule which the Braisa says, the Mishnah says. Anything which the fruit itself is primarily for juice, is also midoraisa to squeeze on Shabbos and Yontif, such as wine grapes are produced not to eat but rather for the juice. So squeezing wine grapes on Shabbos and Yontif is also midoraisa. Then there is category number two, where you have a fruit that sometimes people eat, sometimes people drink. So the halacha is, if you squeeze it, it's only asa midrabanan, only asa midrabanan, such as oranges, grapefruits, and litzorach achila, if you actually cut it and some juice comes out, there's no problem whatsoever, but to squeeze the juice out for the juice is asa midrabanan. Then there are fruits which nobody or most people don't use for their juice. Most people. Let's take, for example, let's say strawberries. Most people don't cultivate strawberries for juice. They cultivate them to put them in chocolate and send them to their girlfriends on Valentine's Day. So that's all you heard commercials the last couple of weeks. It's all sending strawberries to your girlfriend. So that you're allowed to squeeze lechatchila, mutter lischot lechatchila. I would imagine dates are pretty much the same thing. Nobody produces dates to squeeze the date, the grape, to make date juice out of it. Even though there is such a thing as date juice, but nobody does such a thing. So you're allowed to squeeze it.
Dash doesn't fall under ochel nefesh.
It depends on the machlokes, everybody else. According to Tosfos, it's too early in the bread making process. According to the Rambam, who do you have to ask? Mrs. Rambam. Whether or not the disha, the squeezing of the juice a day early, would impact the taste or not. The Rambam does not seem to allow disha, so I guess Mrs. Rambam did not feel that producing the juice a day early would make a difference. Let's continue. Ve'amar Rava, prakmatya kol shehu asur. All types of business, commercial enterprise business, is asur on kol shemoe. Amar Rav Yosi v'Ravin ubidavar ha'avad mutter. But when it's a davar ha'avad, it's mutter. Davar ha'avad is mutter. So, what would it mean like prakmatya? What does it mean? Here it means like in the old-fashioned way. You sell, you buy, you know, to buy, to restock, you sell, whatever it is. All of that is asur. And the Tosfos HaRosh writes that the reason why it's asur is based on the fact that it's tircha. Tircha Yaseira. Because don't forget, selling prakmatya business can't have its root in a Doraisa, because there is no Issa Midoraisa to do business on Shabbos and Yantim. It's always Asur Midurabana. Always Asur Midurabana. He writes, does the Tosfos HaRosh, what is Chol HaMoed designed for? It's not designed to sit and worry about your inventory and about the inventory. It's designed to eat, drink, and to be Isaac Batoira. So if you're going to go ahead and use that time to worry about your inventory, then that's leading to Zilzul Hamoed, to ridicule, you know, cheapening the value of Yom Tov. And as you well know, we mentioned this before, the Mishnah in Maseches Avos. HaMechalel es HaKadoshim Ein Loi Chelek Elolam Haba. Somebody who desecrates the Kadoshim has no Chelek Elolam Haba. You take a look at the Bar Tanura. What is Kadoshim? Chol HaMoed. That if you're Mechalel Chol HaMoed, you don't treat Chol HaMoed properly, Ein Loi Chelek Elolam Haba. And there are many recent poskim, the most famous of which is what's his name, Rav Sternbuch, who writes like tooth and nail, that if you are entitled to vacation days based on your contract, you must take them Chol HaMoed. Can't take them during the summer. If you're entitled to vacation, then you working on Chol HaMoed is not a davar avad. It's a davar avad only if you don't have vacation days. But if you have vacation days, you have to take them Chol HaMoed. And there are people who do that. There are some people who do that. I take my grandchildren to Coney Island every Chol HaMoed on Pesach, and there are hundreds and thousands of Chassidus Yidden there who don't work Chol HaMoed. And I give them credit. They don't work Chol HaMoed. Yeah, so that's what he says. Let's take a look at Tosfos. Pragmatya kolshehu. Pragmatya kolshehu. Pirish Rabbeinu Yitzchak b'tshuvaso. The re is cited in one of his tshuvas. Ki Rabbeinu Yaakov lo haya choshev halvoas ribis prakmatya. Rabbeinu Yaakov, that's the Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov Tam, did not consider extending loans to Gentiles with ribis, of course, as prakmatya. He didn't consider that a problem. And the question is, why not? Why wouldn't it be considered prakmatya? And in fact, the Ritva, take our page, prakmatya ha'ovid vishari, the igal amedak, mat sorech litvos zeha lashon. First of all, why did it was it necessary for Rav Papa to write two things? That if the dates are going to what? Get wormy, then it's okay. It's prakmatya ha'avad. Asks the Ritva. You don't need prakmatya ha'avad. You don't need the fact that what? That there's going to be a business deal that's going to go sour. Anything that's davar ha'avad is automatically mutter. So it could have said, why are you allowed to use those dates once they might become, because it's a davar ha'avad. Because you're going to have to throw them out once they get wormy. Why do you have to introduce that it's prakmatya ha'avad? That it's potential business loss from which you will not recover? Asks the Ritva. V'lo huskar dava ha'avad lenin prakmatya ela b'michirasa. We normally don't discuss what? Dover ha'avod by business, unless you're talking about what? Selling something. And in the case of the dates, nobody said anything about selling anything. He was eating them for himself. And what did he do? He took out his presser, pressed the what? The juice out, so that he will have dry dates for himself. Where did anybody say prakmatya, like the guys, mandachar shmei, whoever says about prakmatya. V'yesh loimar, says the Ritva, a chidush. Dinokat la, b'pnei shepsei dosam mu'etefs. How much do you actually lose by cutting down a couple of dates? The Ritva is being reasonable here. We are talking about cutting dates for yourself in your house. So how many dates do you think he really plucked off the tree? 10,000 dates did he pluck off the tree? He didn't. So this is not talking about commercial enterprise. So how much financial loss would be suffered by any individual person who plucked 20 dates, ate 5 of them, and now 15 of them might become some wormy? Are we talking about staggering figures? No. Says the Ritva, that the chidush of the Gemara is that in order to be permissible for davar ha'avad, you do not need significant financial loss. What type of loss is sufficient? Even mu'etes. Any type of loss whatsoever. And the reason why the Gemara is using the expression prakmatya is to teach you that that very same halacha that applies internally in your house, that you're willing, how much financial loss you would lose by not having a couple of dates, that is the barometer by which we will also use to determine what is considered financial loss for business. It does not have to be a major business loss, but any type of loss whatsoever, as long as there is some financial loss, it's automatically permissible on Chol Hamoed. That's what he says. Ba'afilu hachi shari. De'prakmakin nami laharvacha aser. To make profit, business is aser. Everybody knows that. To make profit, laharvacha. Afilu kol shivu. Even $5. A little profit is prohibited on Chol Hamoed. Ubedavar ha'avad mutter. But to avoid financial loss, a small significant amount is permissible. So says the Ritva, even though he could have used the word davar ha'avad alone without prakmakya indicating his halacha, he uses this halacha to teach us a halacha. Namely, that when it comes to pragmatia, running businesses on Chol Hamoed, every single business transaction, even if it accrues a small profit, is prohibited. Yet, Davar HaAvad, even if it is the smallest financial loss, that is permissible. Kacha Omer HaRidva. I have no idea why I turned to this Ritva in the middle of the Tosis. I don't know why. I thought for a minute that it was connected, but it's not. It's not. It's because I didn't force that on the next page of the Ritva, where the Ritva writes, he disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam, who said that money lending with ribis is usur. The Ritva disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam.
I wanted to go to the Rush.
Yeah, the Rush is matarit. There's a long Rush. We're going to read it.
It is allowed.
What?
I thought Tosfos is saying it is allowed.
That's correct. So
the Ritva is saying it's usur.
The Ritva says it's usur. It's on the next page. That's why I told you to look at the book, because I know the Ritva says, but I forgot the quote. But let's take a look. Let's understand what the heter of the Rabbeinu Yaakov was. Rabbeinu Yaakov. Now, just a little something about the Rabbeinu Tam and money lending. This was one of Chaim Soloveitchik's two major topics that he exhausted ad infinitum. Yayin Nesach and money lending. Tell you, they just printed now a two-volume essay called Collected Essays of Chaim Soloveitchik. So somebody gave it to me as a gift. He's just unbelievable. The breadth that he shows in Rishonim and the historical information that he extracts from these Rishonim is just unbelievable. So Rabbeinu Tam was faced with the following issue. We know that charging interest to a fellow Jew is asur midoraisa, and it's a pretty serious prohibition. He enumerates 8 lavin if you charge interest to a fellow Jew. And it's not only the lender who violates the prohibition. It's the borrower, the witnesses, the co-signer, everybody involved violates the Isser. The Midrashim are abound that Kol Hamalva Beribis Kimi She'en Lo Eloha. It's as if you don't believe in God. Because in one pasuk in Parshas Bahar, we'll read it in a couple of months, the Torah says, right after the Easter of Ribbis, the Torah says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Hamotzi Eschem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Medrash says, why does it have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim right next to the Easter of Malva Beribis? Because it's as if you deny. Fine. The problem was that Jews were tremendous moneylenders in the 12th century, in the time of the Rabbeinu Tam. They were moneylenders. So it would be very easy to lend money to a Gentile because there is no Issur, right? In fact, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel whether it's just allowed or it's a mitzvah to charge a Gentile interest. A mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva says it's a mitzvah to do so. And I will just pause. I can keep the tape recorder on. I'm not saying anything controversial. The reason why he says there is a mitzvah, it's to demonstrate that there is nothing immoral about charging interest. Nothing immoral. Nobody ever said that if I lend you my car, I am not allowed to charge you a rental fee for that car. Nobody ever said that. If I rent you, if you need a house, nobody ever said there's any prohibition of charging you rent to use my house. Well, interest is a rental fee to use my money. Well, why should it be usur? It's not immoral. But the Torah expects a higher degree of understanding that when a fellow member of Am Yisrael, your brother, is in destitute, and that's why the Torah uses the expression ki yomuch achicha, because what expression is used to govern inter-friend relationships in the Torah? Always re'ehu, always. Ki yitenish kelim ki tenish re'ehu kelim lishmor v'yahavta l're'acha kama lo sana b're'acha eit shaka. Everything re'ehu. Suddenly by halva'a and staka, it's ki yomach achicha, because the Torah wants you to consider a fellow friend as if he's your brother. And I hope that you would not charge your brother interest. I hope you wouldn't. So, fine. So it became very easy for a Jewish moneylender to lend money to a guy. And then what happens to Jews who are in desperate need for funds? They don't have any money available. So the Rabbeinu Tam became the biggest proponent of the Heter Iska. If not for the Rabbeinu Tam's pushing it, there would be no Heter Iska around today. He pushed it vigorously that you go ahead and arrange a loan with a Jew and you reconstruct the loan in such a fashion that the word lender, borrower, interest doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. The money lender and the borrower now become business partners. Business venture. That's all. They're business venture. That's all. Two people investing in a business. The lender is the silent partner. The borrower is the active partner. Very nice. Then there are profits. You now pay profits to the money lender in the equivalent of the what would have been the principal plus the interest. That's how it's constructed. The profits of this business will now be going to first to the silent partner, the lender. Now, obviously, this is a tremendous risk, because what happens if there are no profits? How does the money lender, the silent partner, get his money? So there, Rabbeinu Tam took advantage of the fact that people don't like to swear. And the borrower has to take an oath with benekitas chefetz, meaning holding on to a sefer Torah, saying, I swear that the business failed not because of any of laziness or stupidity on my part. And if I don't want to swear, I am obligating myself, free obligation, to pay you, Mr. Money Lender, the equivalent of the loan plus the interest. I'm just mischayev myself. And the Rabbeinu Tam banked on the fact that most people would rather pay than take an oath holding a Sefer Torah, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make that judge. So the Rabbeinu Tam was the one who pushed in Germany the Heter Iska, and then it took on, it was, you know, all over the place. But without the weight of the Rabbeinu Tam supplying it beforehand, it would not have gotten off the ground. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, if I have a Gentile who is... So all he said is that it's mutter. Now,
on Chol HaMoed.
On Chol HaMoed, perfectly okay. Yeah. Now, again, the Ritva writes, and the Rush also says that, I believe. Let's take a look at the Rush, because he quotes this as well. He says that the first week's interest you should collect immediately and use that money to buy provisions for Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov. That's what he writes. We'll see in a second. So it's the second, it's if Chaf Gimel on the bottom of the page, on the right hand side. The Amar Rava, Pratmatya Kol Shehu Asar. What is Pratmatya? Perush Lignos Chora, just to buy merchandise, Ola Machro, to sell it, Asar Afilu Kol Shehu, any amount, Mishum Tircha. Amar Rabbi Yossi Baravin, V'dover Avod Mutter. Velo mikre davar ha'avod ela sheyechaser min hakeren. What is considered davar ha'avod? Not potential lost profits, but loss of the item itself. Kigon hani tuchli, these dates. Vezeisav hafuchin uboro lonuf. Kigon hani de bnei akra de shanusa. Various types of things that if you already squeezed the if you already pressed the olives, if you're not going to have anybody buying them now, what's going to happen to them? They'll become wormy. You'll never be able to sell them after Yom Tov. Aval im yom hashuku b'moed v'yuchal ata limkor sicharoso berevach. But if, here's the situation, there is a market day on Yom Tov, I can sell it for a big profit today, but I can't sell it for a profit after Yom Tov, that's usur. Because when we allow commercial enterprise, that's to make sure that the item itself does not get destroyed. But it does not allow you to engage in potential profits.
What if you had a choice of both?
What?
What if you sliced your dates and now it's either you're going to press them or you could sell them in the marketplace? Is there a preferred?
I don't know.
English choice?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Then let's go to the next one. Sif Chof Dalet. V'al shemalvin lenochri berivis. Kosev ri b'tshuva shelohoya nira l'rabbeinu tam le'esor mishum prakmakya. Elo masa umatan shel schora v'lo halvaz. What is prohibited under prakmakya? Buying and selling merchandise, but not loans. Now,
that loans to Jews too?
But
that means loans to Jews.
No, he said lenachri.
No, but that, but the last line he seems to say
right, maybe even havos to Jew. That's correct. Maybe. Now, The Rabbeinu Tam doesn't seem to offer any reason why this would be permissible. Why it'd be permissible? So, skip a couple of lines where it starts getting narrow again, and he says, "V'kasav Rizal me'achar shahaya Rabbeinu Tam matir." The rov bnei adam noagim leheter ein biyadi leesar lohem. I, the Ri, would really want to prohibit it. But once the Rabbeinu Tam said it was permissible and everybody started doing it, there was nothing I can do about it. V'hamachmir al atzmo tovo olav bracha. And somebody who is machmir and does not engage in money lending on Chol HaShemoed, may he be blessed. Va'ani ragil lomar lemalvin b'chol hamoed, and it is my practice to tell people who do lend money on Chol HaShemoed, sheyekablu haribis shel shavua rishon miyad hanachrim, you should tell the Gentile, you know what? The first week's ribis should be paid right away. The Vyotzi Uhu Liyisron Lasimchas Yomtov. He should use that to buy special stuff for Yomtov. So if you normally have boiled chicken for Yomtov, use this money now to buy some brisket. Use that money to buy some brisket. Kiahi di Yerushalmi, because there's a Yerushalmi that somehow indicates this. Now he's going to keep going and tell us something. Uktsas nirali lahavi raya da halva sharia b'moed mihod esnan b'perik basra ein kosvin shtore chov b'moed. You are not permitted to what? To write loan documents on Chol HaShemoed. Now, in fact, that's the only reason why you're not allowed to engage in loans on Yom Tov. Why are you not allowed to lend money on Yom Tov? Gzeira Shema Yichdov. We're afraid that what? That you're going to write it. So, loan documents on Chol HaShemoed should not be written. But if the Gemara emphasizes not to write the loan documents, what inference am I, Rush, going to make? That the loan itself is okay. It's okay to make the loan, just don't write the documents. Now you could have said that that's not the intention of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, "En kosvin shtarif kovos b'yom tov," it's to tell you, since most people write a document when you're lying, it's telling you don't make a loan. But the Rush is not making that inference. He's just saying, had the Mishnah wanted to prohibit loans, it would have said, Ein Malvin, not Ein Kosvin Shtari Chovos B'yomto. For Ein Loma Dehosa Mayri Bahava Shehulet Tzorech HaMoed. You can't say that what? That the inference would be that you're allowed to have a loan only for what? Only for what? So that the guy should have enough money to buy food on Yom Tov, because the Hakatani Sefer, that's black on blue in the Mishnah. What does it say? V'im ein lo mo yochal mutar. If the guy doesn't have anything to eat, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to lend him some money. Uba Ashkenaz, and in Europe, Hayore Dvar Hashem, those who are God-fearing people, nohagim isur b'halvas ribis l'nachri b'chol hamoed. Va'ani hitarti b'beisi. Listen to this. After saying that a Yorei Hashem does not do so, Rush says, I used to do it. I used to lend out money myself. Why? Listen to this logic. Sheregilin tamid Bahalva Bebesi. I used to lend out to my regular customers who came to my house. She'im lo yulvu lohem. Because if I'm not going to lend to them during Chol HaMoed, Yelchu lebeis Yehuda Yacher. They'll go to another Jew. V'yulvu lohem. V'yargilum lavo etzlom. Then what happens? They'll start striking up a relationship with the other Jew. Then they won't ever come to me. V'ikop seda. Then I lost the customer.
Li.
What?
Ikop seda li. He said the word li to himself.
Yeah, right, he meant that. Yes. V'ikop seda. So it's a very unusual rush who first tries to advocate and tell us that Yirei Hashem should not be doing so, and then he himself says, I did it myself, because otherwise I'm going to lose that customer.
But it's only a loss of potential profit.
I know. So that is correct.
Criteria. It's not a loss of principle. He's not losing his money. He's losing the ability to make money on his money right now.
That's correct.
So why?
Why was it at London?
Right. The thing. What are you saying? It's not the rabbit according to his criteria.
I know, because you have to now say accept the original premise that when prakmatya is usur, it's only liknot velimkar, buying and selling merchandise, but loans are not included in prakmatya.
Period.
It seems very arbitrary that it should not be included, but he said it is, and it's a little strange.
If the whole premise of ribbis is based on achicha, so that there was no differentiation halacha when people are doing it, not poor people, when people, you know, I mean, there are plenty of times that loans are made not out of
right. Chazal didn't see that. Today, money lending is standard procedure for people who are billionaires. Everybody says you never use your own money to
all of your own money.
Oh, not what?
All of your own money.
All of your own money, right? So it's a good point. Now there is another debate amongst Rishonim when we say that you're allowed to engage in. Selling the dates, if they were going to spoil the dates itself, do wages count as davar ha'avad, or is it only the item itself? When Chazal say that davar ha'avad is permissible, so here in our Gemara, the illustration of the davar ha'avad is the date. I cut it up to eat. Now, if I don't sell it, what's going to happen? It's going to get wormy. But what about if I'm a paid employee? Wages. So most say today that, again, if you don't have an option to take off, and if you don't work, you're going to lose those wages. Those wages are considered davar ha'avad. It's not just the product that is considered davar ha'avad, but lost wages is also considered davar ha'avad. Lost wages. But if you have opportunity to what? To take vacation, then lost wages, not considered vacation. But our Gemara never speaks about the Avedas, what's called, in the Gemara, Rishonim, it's called Keren Amalo, from his Amal. The value of his work is not discussed in this particular Gemara. Let's take a look at the last tesis, Ubedavar Ha'avad Mutter.
Does that matter if your work is actually malacha or not?
What?
Does it matter if your work is doing malacha or not?
I don't know. I have to check. I don't know. Let's take a look at Taisis Bedibur Amaschu Udava Ha'avad Mutter. Says Rashi, says Taisis, Pirush Bedavar Sheim Lo Miyim Karena Ata Shema Lo Yim Karena Yaf Apam Acheres V'Yafsid Min HaKeren. That if I don't sell it now and have to wait later, I might not be able to sell it, and then the item is lost. Aval im lo yafsid min hakeret, ele shelo yarviach kol kach, ein ze chashuv davar ha'avad. V'kol shekein, likno schora, Shema tihiye yoser biyoker achar hamoed. Certainly, what should you not do? You should not be able to buy merchandise today thinking, you know what, if I don't buy it today, what is going to happen? After Yantiv, I'm going to have a higher price. That you should not do. Avo liknos yayin kosher b'toch hamoed mutter. But to buy wine in the middle of Yom Tov, that's okay. V'harav Rabbeinu Yosef Piresh D'yesh le'esor.
When's that wine being drunk?
The assumption is it's going to be drunk after Yom Tov.
Otherwise, they're going to tell me.
Exactly. D'yesh le'esor. The afal pi shelo yimtzol b'zor. Even though he might be able to find cheap wine after Yom Tov, harayimtza biyoker. The ain't a dover of it. Their markets were like exactly the opposite of ours. By ours, Yom Tov, everything was more expensive. After Yom Tov is when the prices go down. Prices go down. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yosef said. So the Keren Oira asked the question. That which we allowed you to buy wine was, of course, to drink during Yom Tov. That was the hetter to buy wine. No one would ever say that you can buy 50 gallons of wine on Chol HaMoed to drink afterwards. So if that's the case, what did I need Reb Yosef's last qualification afterwards? The only hetter to buy wine in the first place is for Chol HaMoed.
Wait, we had that case though with the garden with the guy with the carrots, and we said he could harvest unlimited amount of carrots and it didn't matter, because we say, oh, you could always invite over a ton of people. So why do we say buy wine? You could buy a huge amount of wine, you could always, what's the difference?
So that's what he answers. That you're allowed to do that. That once you're buying a product, you can what?
Overbuy.
You can overbuy as much as you want. That's exactly what he answers. So, but the so the first interpretation, which says that you're allowed to buy wine, did not necessarily mean that you're allowed to buy wine when for Chol HaMoed, because I don't need Tosfos to tell me that. What does it mean to buy wine for Chol HaMoed? They're running a nice little sale. So what do I need? Though I buy a gallon, I buy a box, right? Right now in the wine store, Bartanura, the good stuff that everybody likes, the Moscato, $9.29 a bottle. So I was just there. So so if you want to do the Chol HaMoed, you're not drinking the 12 bottles on Yom Tov. So what Karen Ora says is that is what he said was mutter. To that, the Rabbeinu Yosef adds and says, no. That if you're buying it now, to what? Only for one reason. Not for the possibility that you might drink all 12 bottles that you buy in the box. But what's the only reason why you're buying it? Because you're afraid that after Yom Tov, what's going to happen? Price is going up. That's usher. That's usher. So if your purpose is to drink, we're not going to be careful to see, oh, you know, how much do you normally drink? 2 bottles? Only allowed to buy 2 bottles. No, you can buy 20 bottles. But if your purpose is to buy right now only because it's a sale and afterwards it's going up, that's what the Rabbeinu Yosef adds at the end, should not be done because that's commerce on Chol HaMoed, which ought to be prohibited. That's how the Karen Oira learns Rashi. Yeah. All right, stop here. Continue next to Bach.